We're now recording.
Thank you very much, Ricardo. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is a DESA call on the 29th of September. On the line today, we have Rossella Mazzioli, Olivier Crépin-Leblon, Sarah Langdon-Hall, Mike O'Connor, Scott McCormick, Takayasu Matsudra, Katrina Sataki, Rick Willem, Andre Thompson, Patrick Jones, and Keith Drazik. For ICANN staff, we have Julie Headland and myself, Natalie Peregrine. We have apologies from Patrick van der Valle, Jörg Schweiger, Don Blumenthal, Jim Galvin, Greg Aaron, and Bart Buswinkel, who will be joining us on the Adobe. Thank you. Over to you, Mike.
Thanks, Natalie. I think Mark Custer's plaintively asked to be included in the folks listed on the call. Poor dear. and Rossella Mazzioli is only on Adobe, so we'll give her permission to correspond with us through chat only. And welcome to the gang. We're just to give you who missed last week's call an update. We made it through the threats list. Everybody heaved a huge sigh of relief, and then I unbuttoned the vulnerabilities list and dampened everybody's enthusiasm. So we've now switched over to sort of quickly reviewing the vulnerabilities to see which of those are in scope, and that's the plan for today and probably next week as well. This is a pretty long list to get through in 1 week. So with that, off we go. On your screen is the vulnerabilities list, and the secret code is the red ones are ones that we've ruled out of scope, the green ones are ones that are in scope, and the white ones are ones that we need to discuss. And I have to admit being a little bit puzzled. I think I'm going to just pick off a few of these white ones right off the bat. I'm not exactly sure why we skipped these on the last call. If anybody can remind me, that would be good. And I think that insufficient identity verification from SAC 7 is probably out of scope, but if anybody is familiar with SAC 7 and could remind me of what's in there, that would help. It may be why that one's still under discussion. So we'll leave it for now, and I'll do an action item this time to go figure out why. That wasn't what I was expecting at all. Happened there. Sorry.
Oh, we know to blame you, though.
Yeah, I don't know. There. I don't know what that was all about. Sorry. Was pretty exciting. Not that. That's not what I was expecting either, but that's better. All right. So in the next category, we have orphaned glue records, which came out of SAC 48. And as with many, we had a conversation on the last call that most use cases of some of these things are out of scope because they don't affect the top level. However, one use case may be in scope, and that's the use case where actual DNS infrastructure is involved. And I'm just curious if such a thing as an orphaned glue record, which is what's being described in SAC 48, whether that's an issue that happens at the top level. And this is something I have no idea whether this could ever happen at the top level or not. Mark Costers is saying it could, And Rick is, oh, Rick, you got to speak LMGTFY.
Let me Google that for you.
Thank you. Oh, that's a good one. That's going in the dictionary for sure.
So I think what
we're saying is, yes, this could be in scope, correct? I'm going to put it in scope for the use case. Get my little thing going here. And so I'll write a little scope statement. That's what I wanted it to do. I don't know why I didn't do that before. So can we describe the use case that affects the DNS? Or point to something that does. Welcome, Diego. Somebody needs to. So is that the link that you pasted in there, Rick?
So that was on the domain hijacking report. The description of what Orphan Glue is actually pretty well described up there in the definition.
Okay. And
so that where it says. The term orphan is used to signify the record is no longer part of a as a parent NS record, and it's pretty well described up there.
All right, so I'm going to pull that down into the scope thing so that we've got that reminder. Okay, good deal. Next one is from SAC 38. This is inaccurate and or unavailable registrar registry abuse contact information. There's the summary of the issue from the ESSEC report 38. Again, this is a question for the group. Is this a DNS issue, or is this a question at the second level?
Well, this is Rick Wilhelm. It can turn.
Good deal.
Yeah, this is Rick Wilhelm. It can turn into a DNS issue because, for example, if someone finds malware or something else bad going on with the DNS, the abuse contact information at the registrar is usually the point of first investigation, and then failing that, typically registries are contacted. The registry in question is contacted if the registrar fails to respond.
Okay, so if the would this, I guess, you know, this is back to the issue that Greg raised. I can see that at the second level, where there's abuse happening at a second level domain. Could this happen at the TLD and or root level too?
Ooh, doubtful.
Yeah,
this is a second level phenomenon. I mean, in theory, at the CC, I mean, I guess there are some. This is Rick. There are some CC TLDs that could be, you know, sufficiently obscure as to make this an issue. But for most things, there's a second level issue.
Now, could it become more of an issue when we have a larger number of TLDs?
Well, yes, I would say, because then if we're talking about, you know, 500 or 1,000 new TLDs, each of those TLDs tends to have more of many of them to have an operating characteristics more in common with small CCs.
Yeah, okay.
Diego has his hand up.
Diego, go ahead. I'm sorry. Diego, can you speak, or are you coming in through Adobe? Diego's typing. I think he can only speak to us through chat. Yeah. So go ahead and type away while I type on the screen, and then I'll read your comments back out to the group. Let's see.
So are we calling that in scope because of potential of scale?
Yeah, I think that the point that Rick is raising is that in the case of a small TLD, whether it's a CC or a G, this could be an issue. Correct, Rick?
Correct.
Okay, so if we leave that in scope, can I go back to SAC 7, which I've just quickly reread, and can anyone explain to me why domain name hijacking, impersonation, base or otherwise, would be a top-level issue? Because I don't think it is. I think it would be out of scope.
Which one
but
is
But I'm willing
that?
To be educated.
Yeah. This one here. No. Which one on this?
Insufficient identity verification.
Yeah, this is one that's just under discussion. I'm not sure whether this one's in scope or out.
Well, I just read SAC 7 again while we've been in the meeting. And I don't think it is, and I'm hoping someone will tell me if I'm right or wrong.
I am quite cheerfully willing to put that one out of scope if others agree. What do others have to say?
Yeah, I think that's a second level.
Yeah.
Second level phenomenon.
That's
okay.
How I read it.
Yeah, this is Rick. I think that's a second level.
All right. So we'll put that one out of scope if I can make the ding-ding, rippin' thing do what I want.
Thanks, Rick. I just assumed it was, but I wanted confirmation.
You're right, Cheryl.
Okay. All right, good. Pick that one off. Okay, this one is in scope. In one limited. Use case. In scope, which is the small TLD phenomenon. Okay. Now, Diego commented in the chat, and I'm going to open this up just a little bit so that we can see it, because it's getting too... Oh, now I've done it. Thank you, Mikey, for that. Great work. What an idiot. I don't know what I'm doing here. Totally screwed everything up. Okay, everybody stop.
I've really improved it, Mikey. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me do this all over again. Forget what I'm doing.
This is going to be great in the transcript.
Yeah, this is going to be great in the transcript. Well, transcripts of Mikey-operated calls are often quite strange. It does get a little silly when I go crazy in the... See, how can we... Since we have nothing interesting in the agenda, let me do this. Quite a bit interesting in the chat. Okay, so Diego is saying there's a working group going now to build a contact repository for emergencies in the CC community. And one of the big issues there is to keep up to date with the contact information. And it's directly related to the CC TLD. So I'm thinking that, Diego, you're with us on the notion that this should be in scope, correct? Good deal. All right. Let me get us on to the next one. A registrant who does not have complete knowledge used to create the zone file for a domain. I think this one is primarily a second level. Again, this is one. The question would be, is there a use case at either the root, which I find really doubtful, or the TLD level where a person doesn't know how to make their zone file? Or can we leave this one out of scope? I'm not seeing anybody throwing their body on the track, so I'm going to put this one out of scope. I think at some point we have to presume a certain level of competence, and that anybody who's operating a TLD would know how to put together a zone file. We will not presume competence in spelling. Out of your chair. The joys of...
Mikey, to some extent, Cheryl here for the record, to some extent, when we were doing threats and we were identifying some of those issues which really could be bundled under sort of best practice standardized levels of operational competency. This as a vulnerability would sort of fit in there, I would have thought.
Ah, well, we could do that.
As a subtopic, you know. So
yeah.
Not to dismiss it outright, but to suggest that, you know, in the scheme of things, these are the sorts of baseline stuff that, we are making the assumption, the hypothesis is that there would be a base level of competency. However, in the absence of the base level of competency, then we may have different stories.
Let me do that. Diego has raised his hand, so he's going to type. So I'll keep an eye out for your comments, Diego. Go ahead. So we'll that in action for me. Put this back in scope. And Diego is pointing out that there's a huge discussion on the DNS operations OARC list about how to keep zone file integrity.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
So I'm getting
that's
confirmation
another
that
reason
at a minimum
to
is in
yep.
scope and should probably go into the what it sounds like, Cheryl, is that competence of a TLD operator is a big in-scope topic for us, and that this is one of the subtopics of that.
It's sort of a basket.
Yeah. Okay. Good deal. Nicely done, folks. Registry transition. There's a whole SAC 47 report, and it's funny to me. I thought I summarized that somewhere. I wonder if this is a duplicate. Keith Drazik agrees that competence of the registry as operator is within scope. This registry transition one I would view as in scope, and I think there's another.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple times ago.
Yeah, so I'll put it in scope and take an action to find its home, because I'm sure that we've already covered this one.
It might be duplicated.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. So let me do that. Okay, and then this scope statement is in general about these, and it came of some of the early ones in there. So, ta-da, we're done with one. Good for us. Now you think you're done, but you're not. But wait, there's more. Just to give you a sense of the size of the task we're up against here, there's a lot in this that we have to get through. And so our goal was to have this scope work done by Dakar. What we're going to do is we're going to work as hard as we can right up to Dakar to get this done, but we may not quite make it. And I would rather have it be something that we are comfortable with and feel good about than try to make an arbitrary deadline of Dakar, and then what we'll do in our status update to Dakar is just say we're close, and here's where we're at the moment. So,
yep, works for me, Mikey.
That's the plan. Having been through a few working groups where we had some somewhat arbitrary deadlines, I'm sensitive to that. So that's what's going on. All right, so here's our supporting infrastructure topic. This one's in fairly rugged shape. We may want to go through and sort of reorganize this. Or we could just say that this whole shebang at this level is in scope and use the stuff that you see on the screen as examples at this point. What's your preference, folks? You want to go through these one by one, or would you rather just, I could put these all in a category of examples for further analysis and cover it in one blob like that?
The one you might want to look, this is Rick Wilhelm, the one you might want to look at there is that there's an SSEC, or I'm sorry, a DNSSEC item in there at right at the bottom, which looks like it doesn't fit very well with the others. So probably DNSSEC is in a different bucket rather than this supporting infrastructure one.
Yeah, because we've got DNSSEC called out somewhere else. Part of the trouble that you're seeing here is the different cycles that we went through to develop this document, so it's good to catch these ones that are misplaced. Maybe give this one a different color just to remind myself, because this one's pretty far down in the hierarchy. But otherwise, we're feeling like this. What if we, just real quickly, topics for analysis. Because really where we're going with all this is to try and form working groups, sub-working groups that are then going to go take a look at all these things. So rather than do it like this. So now we have a bunch of topics for the subgroup. We call this one in scope.
Mm-hmm.
And let the subworking group sort out the details of this. Let's see, Diego is saying, it's back to Rick's comment about the DNSSEC and saying the impact on infrastructure should be there. It's not just a DNSSEC concept. Rick, I'm pretty clueless about DNSSEC. Do you want to respond to Diego's point?
Well, let me see. About DNS impact on infrastructure should be there, but not a DNSSEC plain concept. I guess, you know, there are a number of things that could cause
scaling. Maybe this is a load issue that he's talking about. Could that be it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you know, sometimes there's concern that the broadband routers and firewalls will not be able to cope with DNSSEC. So in this case, it feels like I think this is a last mile comment.
Ah, correct. Yeah. And so the question is, really what that gets to is the scope of what we are thinking of as infrastructure. You know, up until now, I have been thinking of the DNS and TLD infrastructure.
Yeah.
I think that this point is really aimed at endpoint infrastructure, and the question to the group is, do we want to include that in the scope? Do we want to include endpoint infrastructure issues in the scope of our analysis? Don't all speak at once. Olivier, go ahead. Olivier? Oh, you may be muted. You may have made so much background noise that the conference folks muted you. Natalie, is that true? Have we muted poor old Olivier?
No, he hasn't been muted at all. He's back now.
I'm unmuted now. Sorry about
that. There we go. Now we have Olivier.
For some reason, I couldn't unmute. I think that the infrastructure that surrounds the DNS server itself is particularly important. It's seen from a customer's perspective, and from an end-user point of view, whether it's the path to that DNS server or the DNS server itself that is at fault, the result is still the same. The resolution doesn't take place. So I think that it has to be taken into account.
So that would be... okay. Other thoughts on this? Rick, you want to chime in on...
You know, I think this is not an ICANN thing. We're talking about registries and overall... This is more of an Internet thing. I haven't been as in touch about our in bailiwick, out of bailiwick discussions, but this feels like a stretch because it's getting toward the last mile.
Yeah, I understand the issue that you're raising, Olivier, which is that the path to DNS is interrupted, but I'm not sure that I can imagine a circumstance where ICANN would reach out to end users.
This is even beyond ISPs. This is about end user equipment. Because if we're going to throw this in scope, then we would almost have to throw ISP routers and infrastructure in scope, and that feels not like it's not part of TLD infrastructure.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Olivier, do you want to come back and defend your thought here?
Thank you. Thank you, Mikey. The way I was reading the mind manager topic here was that the local infrastructure they were speaking about was local infrastructure on the registries side. I didn't
know.
This is the
broadband router in your house.
Ah, okay. Right. Forget it.
Okay.
I misunderstood that one, and because I think I wasn't part of the call which built those, so I thought it was the other way around that we were looking at. Right, thanks. Sorry.
Yeah, I think we'll take this one out of scope. And I think I'm going to capture this scope discussion because this, I think, is important.
I threw the 035 link in there just for the folks that are reading the transcript.
Oh, thanks.
Mike, yeah, I unfortunately need to drop, so I'll be catching up on email with folks.
See you in a week. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Bye-bye.
Let me just finish my scope discussion here. This applies to end there.
Mikey, Cheryl here.
Go ahead.
Just rereading the notes. Oh, no, I'm not suggesting that it goes back in scope in terms of infrastructure. But rereading the notes, particularly under the topics for analysis subheadings, there is something to be said about not dismissing it totally, but having it, how to say this nicely, recognised again on a matter of the system is in fact designed for a significant amount of redundancy protection to stop it becoming an issue. If those failovers and redundancies don't work, then it would be an issue. But the way the beast is built right now, it shouldn't be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think we've got a lot of those issues already in here in terms of failover, insufficient capacity, name server problem.
It might need to just be sort of popped in somewhere as an example of, you know, the failover way pathways that ought to work should catch this and make sure it's a non-issue from our point of view, therefore not in scope. If, however, there was a failure of the failovers, then that would be a different story.
Now, let me just maybe sprinkle a few reminders through these. Because I think that what we're concerned about is the impact of DNSSEC on infrastructure at the root and the first level. At the TLD level. And SAC 35 is really thinking about impact on the other end of the chain at the edge of the network.
Okay.
And we agree that that's out of scope, but we don't want to forget that DNSSEC has an impact at the root and at the...
I'm more comfortable with that. Thanks.
Yeah. And I think that we've got that. Part of the reason I took that note, that action item, is because I'm sure that we've already got DNSSEC mentioned somewhere. We have a huge DNSSEC discussion somewhere in one of these documents. And I think that there's certainly an in-scope DNSSEC conversation. It's just not the broadband routers one. Okay, Diego's got his hand up. Let's see. And Diego says, I understand now it's about consumer routers and firewalls and agrees that it's out of scope. Okay, so I think we're okay here. Going one last time on this topic, and we'll move on to the next. All right. Another big topic in terms of infrastructure vulnerabilities is the single point of failure notion, and we could treat it pretty much the same way that we did this last one. We could take a lot of these examples and just sweep them into a topics for analysis and put this in scope and let the subgroup sort out the details. How do you all feel about that approach to this one? Put it in scope at this level and let a working group, a sub-working group, sort of take a look at all these subtopics. Getting a big plus from, a thumbs up from Cheryl. I think that's the way to do this. All right, so we'll put this in scope. Because clearly a single point of failure is an issue if there is a single point of failure at either the root or a TLD, that's a problem for the DNS.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. So then we'll give the subteam a bunch of topics to go take a look at. Going once, going twice. While I type, if anybody feels strongly the other way, feel free to chime in. I don't want to do the analysis on these scoping calls. I really just want to get the broad topics done. Okay, registry failover scenarios that need study. We just looked at something about registry failover. Where was that? Maybe what we do... I think this is related to this registry transition topic. So maybe this is the proper home for... So I guess the question is registry fail... Here's a question for the group. Is registry failover an infrastructure problem or a business problem?
Could be both.
I heard somebody say something, but I couldn't understand.
Sorry, Mikey, this is Keith. Can you hear me okay?
Ah, there we go. Sure, go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, and I apologize for the background noise. I'm at the IGF meeting and trying to follow along.
Ah.
One second. So I think the answer to your question, registry failover, registry failover is the term that ICANN has used for the process by which they would ensure a registry, stays up and resolves. And, you know, basically it's a method for ensuring registrants aren't negatively impacted if a registry goes down for some reason. So the failover itself, in ICANN's terminology, is sort of the process by which they keep a registry up and running if something bad happens, right? And that bad thing could be technical, it could be financial, it could be operational, it could be any one of those things that would trigger the registry failover process. So when we talk about registry failover, we need to be thinking of it in terms of like, okay, there's this process by which ICANN, you know, moves the systems to a backup provider or provides some sort of support or resources to keep the lights on, if you will, as an interim step. So I think to answer your question directly, is it could be any one of those things that triggers a registry failover.
Okay, and Patrick Jones has been typing away in the chat while you're talking, Keith, and agrees with you and points out that the term has now been changed to be registry continuity. And so that being the case, the question I've got is just where to put this. Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, so Mikey, Keith is accurate, and I think by having it listed as registry failover the way it is, it fits with the timing of when that document came out. It was only later, as we got closer to starting to develop the applicant guidebook, that we changed the term to registry continuity. But I think what you're looking for is, how does a registry failure fit in as a scenario, and that is one that I think touches on infrastructure.
So what we would do is we would move this one down into the infrastructure.
Well, it may fit in both places.
Okay, so maybe duplicate it.
I mean, registry continuity is sort of, that's the process for ensuring that registrants aren't left holding the bag when a TLD fails and there's a sort of a organized process to either transition them to a new operator or make it clear what the timing is for taking out a TLD. Registry failure is what happens to the registry. Either it's a business failure or it's a failure for some other reason.
Oh, okay. So maybe I should take this wording and change it back.
And this is Patrick again. I would also defer to Rick or Keith or anyone else, you know, from the registry side who was involved in those conversations back in 07, 08, or even currently, you know, for their observations on this topic too.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that it belongs in both places. Take that out of there. Put registry continuity. Into the topics for analysis for infrastructure. Put.
Hello, this is Andre Thompson.
Go ahead, Andre.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the registry failure. I think it's both an infrastructure problem and a vulnerability problem. At the end of the day, what is a vulnerability? Something that's going to, when it happens, it's going to just remove a service or put down a service. So if somebody attacks the registry or the registry goes on for any reason, power failure, whatever it is, you have a loss of service. So the question is, really, is that a vulnerability? I personally think it is. Of course, it's also infrastructural, but I'll just put that to the group whether they agree or not.
I think that the group agrees.
Mm.
Keith Drazik is typing. And Patrick's been... Patrick typed a note that says... the group may want to distinguish between registry continuity as the process to ensure orderly transition of a registry from registry failure, which is the point in time when either a business or technical failure happens. And so, Andre, I don't think there's any disagreement that it's in scope. The distraction I've presented to you all is trying to find the right place to put it.
Great, no problem.
I think that for purposes of this discussion, we're in agreement that registry failure and the process of ensuring continuity is definitely in scope, irrespective of the cause of the failure.
Sounds good.
So
I
think I've captured that. Just move this one in there so that it's in the topics for the group. Maybe the thing is that this is as good a spot as any. I don't want to belabor where these go in this document. We'll be here all day, not really accomplishing a lot if I get us distracted on that. Okay. Put this one in green so that we don't forget. All right. Let's see if we can pick off one more. Oh, this is a big one. It doesn't look very big, but wait. But wait, there's more. There's a whole huge list. This is the point that Cheryl kind of got us going on quite early in the discussion, which is that there are a bunch of bad decisions made by the managers of the root or individual TLDs. I just noticed Diego posted in the chat, business continuity could be at a higher level in the operational issues. So maybe that's a good idea. So what we'll do is we'll pull this one out. Up there, like that. Now it would have its own. Topic. Diego, is that what you were thinking? Just get a quick read from Diego before we plunge into the next one here. I think that's what he was talking about. He's typing. So maybe higher.
Maybe higher. Okay.
Wow. Oh, you mean even higher than operational issues? Well, okay. I'm game. Put it right there. We'll leave it there for now. I mean, I think the key issue is that registry failover and continuity is clearly a big deal, and we can always rearrange it later. I'd rather have things be bigger deals than we need than lose them. And so it's fine to have it high in the hierarchy now. I just think that let me give you a kind of a tour of the managerial choices and so on, because this was a whole section that I built out of a bunch of documents that I read, and I made some choices. The not following best practices one is the one that Cheryl suggested as a large paddock that we could put this in. I just want the group to note my use of the term paddock. It's not a term that's familiar to me as an English speaker. trolling for a bite from Cheryl on that one.
It's all right, Marky. I'll bite you when I see you next.
These topics get very large. And I'm not interested in trying to weed through all of this from a scope perspective.
The subgroups can deal with that.
Yeah, I think that otherwise we'll be doing... I'm just dramatically thinning this out just to give you a sense of some of the high points. I think that one way to do this is to say, yes, indeed, we feel that managerial choices are in scope, and then leave this whole gigantic pile to a subgroup to evaluate.
Yep.
That okay? I'm hearing Cheryl sort of saying, yeah, that's a good plan. Does anybody have a big problem with that, if we acknowledge that some of these are undoubtedly out of scope? And we'll let the subgroup cope with that.
Support. Cheryl here. Let the subgroup do the triage, I think.
I think that's a good way to do it. Scope. Before I do that, I recognize that this is going to give the subgroup a lot of scoping work to do. And the question is whether people are comfortable with that. All right. Now, DNSSEC is in there, of all places. I'm going to leave DNSSEC out of that. Because I think that... of the pause is because that topic is so large, not following best practices. It took that long for my computer to rewrite the file. That's why that took a moment. This is a big topic. That all about inadequate documentation of DNS architecture and operations. Yeah, I think that's still a managerial choice. So I think I'm gonna put that in there. Some of these are essentially industry standard best practices that are found in ISO documents and PCI and so on. And so I think one of the things that this subgroup I can't touch type, so then I look up and look at all the exciting typos I made. Alright, so this then goes in scope with that caveat. Okay, any last thoughts about where we're at the moment? I'm going to pull this one out as unviewed. DNSSEC, I think, is needs to get dealt with separately. All right. It's 4 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to spend those last 4 minutes just showing you the rest of what we've got to get through.
You just want to scare us, don't you, Mikey?
It's actually not too bad, but the big one is in here.
It was good, yeah.
That's the one that I think what we've just done is we've just pushed a lot of work off to a subgroup. And I think that's the right thing to do. I think trying to do this as the whole group on a single call would really bog us down. So I'm pretty confident that we can get through the rest of this on our next call, which would be great because that means that then we can at least have a pretty close to final draft for Dakar, which would be nice. So with that, I will give us all a pat on the back and say thanks a million and wrap the call up. Look forward to seeing you in a week.
Thanks, Marky. Good call.
Hey, good job, guys.
Natalie, I think we can stop the recording and shut everything down. Thanks for your help.
Thank you very much, Mike.